I'm Leonard Williams, and this is the Jets Blog Podcast.
Welcome back to the Jets Blog Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Griffin, and with me, as always, on the other line, it's Brian Bassett. Hey, buddy.
Oh, Corey, hello. How are you?
I'm just trying to make the Jets great again, Brian.
I know you are.
I waited all season. I held that in for 6 weeks. I would like credit for that.
Well, you are getting the credit, so credit to you. Well done. How have we not talked about this? I just want to know how we make Darrell Revis great again. I don't care so much about the whole team. Just can we get that one player to be great again? No.
Maybe we don't have him on the team anymore.
Maybe not.
It's just my Maybe not. I don't know. We will get into plenty of Jets talk today, maybe a little Darrell Revis. We're going to have Kent Summers of the Arizona Republic join us to talk about the Arizona Cardinals, who the Jets play on Monday night on ESPN at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. But before we do that, a little bit of programming news. If you are a fan of the Mets, the Jets, the Giants, the Knicks, the Rangers, or the Islanders, and you want to listen to all of our original podcasts all in one place, just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network. I tell you guys this every week, but we don't see the subscriptions. We want to see more of you guys subscribing and rating, reviewing the SNY.TV audio network on the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcasts. If you want to listen to this show week by week, search SNY.TV Jets, hit subscribe, and you'll be all set. And of course, as always, please make sure you rate and review that channel as well. I know how many people you guys reach out to Brian and I on Twitter on a weekly basis, how many of you guys read the jetsblog.com. If you can just take 5 minutes out of your day and go and rate and review SNY.TV Jets and subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network and give that a star rating as well, it would be very much appreciated. It would also be appreciated, Brian, if the Jets could get off the schneid this week and steal one in Arizona.
Here's what I'm going to say. For people who rate the site, if you rate the site and put some question or insane comment in there that we think is hilarious, we will read it on the second show next week. So not the kind of post-game show, but the next show next week. So if you go on and you put something in the comments in the iTunes, like we will look for it. We will find the best ones, and we will come up with, I don't know, three comments or questions that we think are particularly interesting. So go do that. We're giving them a reason to do it now rather than just telling them to do it. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So right. So let's talk about the Jets.
Now that you ruined my perfect transition from the emotional read to this content, we can just jump into it haphazardly.
Yeah, that sounds good. That's the thing. You're the smooth. I'm the not chunky. So smooth. See, I can't eat. Yeah, chunky. Yeah, less chunky these days. Thank you. So anyway, but So what were we talking about?
We were talking about the Jets getting off the schneid against Arizona. Right. So I have many thoughts about this game. One of which is a personal thing. The last time that I remember, well, the two times that I remember watching a game in this stadium were the playoff game last year, the Cardinals and the Packers with that amazing finish, the Hail Mary by Aaron Rodgers, just ridiculous, bonkers game, the Larry Fitzgerald winning touchdown over the middle. That was just so much fun to watch. And I remember I was at the Super Bowl a few years ago, the Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl that happened there. This is a bit of a personal diatribe, but there is a point to it. The stadium is older than MetLife, but it's just so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It has personality. It's clean. It's nice. It's just unique. It showcases that you get this big window where you can see out. It's just like MetLife is so dull. As I sit there and I watch this game and then I watch them play last week in Pittsburgh and I'm reminded that the football on the field isn't really that entertaining, it just really makes me depressed to go to MetLife. Like, I want to go to the Ravens game next weekend, but it's just there's nothing exciting about going to games these days.
Well, it's kind of lost its luster a little bit, right? You know, I don't know. You know, some stadiums get built with a real – you know, strong architectural principle or idea in mind, and others don't. Others are utilitarian in their nature.
That's a very good word for MetLife, utilitarian. It contains people in order to watch an event. Thankfully, this game is not at home on a Monday night. This game is on the road up late likely watching this, unless this one turns into a blow. Oh. What are your feelings going into this game?
I mean, I think the Cardinals can be had. Carson Palmer, yes or no? I think the Cardinals can be had. I mean, Carson Palmer has demonstrated, you know, he's kind of still shook from last season, as best I can tell. You know, did he have some, you know, some success early in the year, or, you know, at some points, but overall it's been shaky. Obviously he's been out with concussion. So, you know, how does he come back off that? Is there any rust with his receivers? You know, that sort of thing. Their defense is in the middle of some throws, just like our defense is. You know, the difference is, you know, the level of talent when you look at their when you look at their wide receivers, when you look at their running back, when you look at, you know, the quarterback position, when you look at their line, when you look at their, you know, their defense, kind of all told, you know, I think they're a more talented team. It's just things aren't firing for them for some reason. So they're probably looking at this as a get well game. And the Jets have to go across the country, you know, against them, you know, in a big spot. But if the Jets want to be a postseason contender team, I mean, we've been saying this for like 2+ weeks now, 3 weeks now, like it's really important for them to win this game. If they can win this game against a team who I just said can be had, you can come out of this and you get into an easier stretch a little bit going forward. You know, maybe that gives them the breathing room they need to kind of get back in the hunt.
Maybe. I think the thing we're definitely going to see at some point during Monday night's game, if the Jets passing offense struggles, is, you know, this was so much better with Eric Decker, and not having Eric Decker is such a problem. Eric Decker was if you are listening to this, I assume that you are aware that Eric Decker was placed on injured
spoiler
reserve.
Spoiler alert.
Wednesday. Yeah. Spoiler alert, was placed on injured reserve. We'll have season ending shoulder surgery. This puts the onus on Robbie Anderson, Devin Smith, when he comes off DL. Jalen Marshall looks like he's on his way back, and obviously Quincy Enunwa taking over the full-time slot role with Decker officially out for the year. And I've seen a lot of people already making excuses for Ryan Fitzpatrick or whoever is a quarterback, whether it's Bryce Petty or Geno Smith or Christian Hackenberg. But one need only look at the Dallas Cowboys, at the Minnesota Vikings, at the New England Patriots, for teams that have succeeded this year without, you know, a quarterback, for lack of a better term, or with injuries to key players like they've had in Minnesota and Dallas as well. This is a game where the Jets need to show that, A, some of these young players have some skill and talent, and they were worth keeping for a reason, and also a game where Ryan Fitzpatrick needs to make better decisions with the balls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% with you in that, you know, he was either holding the ball too long, you know, trying to run when he didn't need to run, you know, making ill-advised throws, you know, like I've said for a couple of weeks now, when he's on tilt, it's bad news. And that doesn't always result in picks, but you can kind of see when he's pressing a little bit.
Yeah.
And you just see that, and you just know that makes a big difference in the offense. And certainly not having Eric Decker in there is good, but, you know, is bad, but having, you know, Quincy Enunwa kind of having taken on a larger role, you know, so far. And, you know, right, the other guys you mentioned, and one guy you didn't mention who I'm kind of bullish on, but I think it's going to take a little while. We kind of forget, you know, Austin Seferian Jenkins is now on this team. I mean, he's a pretty good player, you know, if he can keep his head screwed on straight.
Is he?
I think he's talented. I think he's talented.
That's different. Saying he's a pretty good player and saying he's talented are two very different things.
Well, I think he's big and he's got hands and he plays tight end, and the Jets don't have any tight ends that are big and have hands. So,
look at Kellen Davis blocking tape, they don't have any tight ends who can block either.
Oh, that's true. So anyway, but I think that's helpful. I also think that the guy I was really trying to get to is Jeremy Butler. It's going to take a little time for Butler. But he's a guy I really truly believe that if he's in the right system, on the right team, he could be a starter quality player. And I know you say, yeah, right, he was cut by the Ravens, he was, you know, on the practice squad or whatever of the Bucks, you know, give me a break. And that's fine, I'll say that, but I would say I'll be very curious to see what his storyline is between now and the end of the season. I'm not saying he's definitely going to be the Eric Decker replacement. I'm just saying, of those guys, other than Enunwa, he's the guy I like best in this offense, in this spot. But again, he was just signed this week, so who knows?
I would like to make one quick Enunwa point, and then we'll move on.
Yeah.
I just would like to point out that I love him. I think he's phenomenal. I think he's got all the physical tools to be a really good, really, really, really good player. But he kind of disappointed me against Pittsburgh. You know, he stopped running on one route over the middle that would have been a first down. And they were looking. There were times where he was wide open on a lot of routes, and Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't hit him. But you know, he dropped that touchdown in the end zone against, I think it was Seattle. They just need him to step up. If he's going to become a starter player next season, if they're going to move on from Marshall or Decker after this year, they need Quincy Enunwa to step up, just like they need the linebackers specifically on the other side to step up. Deron Lee, the first-round pick out of Ohio State, has been okay, but he hasn't been, you know, he's certainly not a candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year, let's put it that way. Jarvis Jenkins has been not good. Lorenzo Maldon has been a disaster this year, and it's put a lot of pressure on the defensive line and the secondary. Not that those two teams haven't had their own problems, but the linebackers have got to start making an impact on the game.
Is it bad that I'm, you know, having fantasies of bringing back Calvin Pace?
You're not the only one, Brian.
Is that bad?
You're not the only one. I look, David Harris looks a step slow, and he might be the best. He still might be the best linebacker on this group, despite being a step slow from being a step slow. Calvin Pace, if they signed him today after I can't even imagine what shape he's in. Not that I think he's fat, but you know what I mean. He's not been out of football for how long. He probably would be the best outside linebacker on this team if you signed him right now. So there's a concern that group is A, not progressing because they've invested a serious number of resources with Maldon last year, and then the Jenkins pick and the Lee pick this year, and not the first year picks are busts, but it's trending in the wrong direction. And then I think I'm interested if you think that the linebacker issues are what's causing players like Muhammad Wilkerson specifically to struggle up front, because he was a total disaster against Pittsburgh. He's been a non-factor for most of the season, and I'm starting to get a little worried about him.
In a word, no. I don't think that the linebackers are the problem. I certainly think that this group is off balanced for sure. But no. So no. Is that good?
Good podcasting, Brian. Just one word answers. All right, we'll put our talking on hold for a minute, and we will bring in our guest for the day. We are now joined by Kent Summers of the Arizona Republic, AZ.com. I'm confused always by what to call it, but Kent, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
What outlet is it now? Is it? It's not the Arizona Republic anymore, right? It's now mostly online-based?
Yeah, that's the actual hard copy newspaper, and of course newspapers can't name their website the same thing. So the website is azcentralsports.com.
We have the same issue up here with some of our favorite writers who write for the Jets. The paper's one thing, that the online's a totally different thing. I don't understand why they can't be the same, but alas, that's the media world we live in. I don't think that anyone before the season saw this game coming as two teams at a desperate point, both needing a win, not even to stay in contention for a wild card, but just to kind of get their season on track. We know how the Jets are doing, but how are things out in Arizona? How are things in Glendale? How are they handling the rough start so far?
Well, fears were a little bit diminished last week when they beat the 49ers in Santa Clara on Thursday night. Now, beating the 49ers this year isn't any great accomplishment, but when you lost 3 of 4 to start the season and you're really in desperation mode, and they were playing with their backup quarterback, Drew Stanton, so it was a good win for this team. But, you know, the Cardinals are facing a critical stretch right here with two consecutive home games in prime time, starting with the Jets Monday night and Seattle Sunday night. It's a team that's already lost 2 home games, more than they lost all of last season at home. So, yeah, they need this victory, even though it's against an AFC team. They definitely need it, and just to fight to get to back to 500.
Yeah, obviously, the Carson Palmer thing is huge. Do we expect him to play the full game? I mean, is he going to go? What's the latest with him? You know, Drew Stanton was in for a while, mixed results. What difference does having Carson Palmer in the lineup mean to this team? And you know, kind of how does Bruce Arians and the team deal with that over based on kind of he had a rough end of the year, and it's kind of, you know, there's been some cobwebs from that, it seems, into this year, even before he went down with the concussion. What does his play or presence mean to the team?
Well, he's ready to go. He cleared concussion protocol on Tuesday and has practiced full. This is his second full practice. He told us yesterday he's fine, no symptoms, obviously cleared to play. And he means a lot to this offense, despite how he played against Carolina in the NFC title game and despite how he played in his last couple of starts this season where, you know, this team got behind and he had to scramble and threw some picks. But, you know, it's a much different team with him at quarterback than Drew Stanton, who's a competent backup. But, you know, not the passing game just doesn't click like it does with Palmer. You know, this year it's just he played pretty well the first couple of weeks against New England and Tampa Bay. He had 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That's kind of been reversed in his next 2 starts. And the passing game has just been off. He and receivers are reading coverages in different ways. Michael Floyd, receivers, dropped 3 balls in the last 2 weeks and saw his playing time diminish. It's really been a surprise to watch because they were so good at it a year ago, and everybody's back on offense. Everybody who scored a point or gained a yard is back. So it's perplexing. I think this team is kind of searching for answers about who they are, and they never expected that to be the case 5 weeks into the season. But Carson Palmer's the guy. He signed a contract extension in the summer through 2018. I mean, they see him as their starter for at least, you know, 2 more years after this one. But you know, he needs to play better than he did in his last couple starts, no question.
You know, Kent, you mentioned the wide receivers and Palmer not being on the same page, so to speak. Let me just tell you, the Jets defense has got the cure for that. This secondary has been a major liability, particularly against high power passing games. Even the drop prone Sammy Coates for the Steelers could have walked away with about 5 or 6 touchdowns last week. He settled for 2. I've asked this specifically with mention to players like Jerron Brown and John Brown. They scare the crap out of me, and I am legitimately terrified that this is John Brown's breakout game. This is the game where we all stop worrying about what's wrong with him, where he gets that 5 for 130 with some 75-yard touchdown pass. It's just a beautiful sail down the right side. Do you think that this is the game that we see John or Jerron Brown really break out into the national scene? Or break back.
Well, it could be something. Something's got to give, you would think, because the Cardinals have not been able to complete the deep ball all year, and they were as good as anybody in football a year ago at doing it. And really, that's the staple of Arians' offense, is that they will take a half dozen shots or so downfield. And you know, on Wednesday, Arians really put the blame for the lack of production on Palmer. He said we've had passes there. It's like he hasn't completed them. Part of it, teams are playing them differently. They are keeping their safeties back more often, you know, really emphasizing not letting the Cardinals get behind them. But, yeah, it could be a big game. I mean, John Brown really broke out a couple of weeks ago against the Rams and put out big numbers. He's clearly over the concussion that, you know, made him miss most of training camp. Fitzgerald is still producing, you know, tied for the league lead in touchdowns with receiving touchdowns with 5. And Jerron Brown has really come on the scene. But, you know, it's just, like I say, something has been missing from this passing game. It's just off, and it has been all season. We'll see if they can get it together against the Jets. But like I said, you know, the Jets can't defend the deep ball, and the Cardinals can't throw it. So who knows what we're going to see Monday night.
You know, you mentioned something missing. Sorry, Brian, I just wanted to ask one thing. You mentioned something missing, and as a Michael Floyd fantasy owner, I would be remiss if I didn't ask. It seems like it's pretty, you know, you mentioned John Brown's big game against the Rams a couple weeks. Jerron Brown has had a couple good games, Fitzgerald with the touchdown. It seems like the one thing that's missing is pretty obvious, and it's the former first-round pick who finished the second half of last season like a man on fire. And this season, whether he's struggling in a contract year or not, can't seem to get it all together. Do you think this could be his game?
Well, I mean, it always could be. He certainly has the talent, no question. And you're right. Once he got healthy last season, I mean, he was dynamic with 5 100-yard games, I think, over the last 8 weeks. And we all thought, you know, in a contract year that he would put up huge numbers this year. Just so, to watch him play the way he's played over 5 weeks, to just drop so many easy passes. And when I talked about the lack of communication between Palmer and his receivers earlier, it's been mostly Palmer and Michael Floyd. It's been Michael Floyd not reading coverages right and running into the wrong place. His playing time has diminished. Last week, you know, after a drop, after the last two games, after a drop, he stayed on the bench more. Jerron Brown has passed him in terms of number of snaps. Arians says they're going to continue throwing the ball to Michael Floyd, and I think they'll give him a chance early in this game. He's better. His confidence, you know, gets going if they throw it to him early and he happens to catch the ball. That's kind of the way he's always been, so it wouldn't surprise me if they try to get him off a little bit early on Monday night, or at least see if he's emerged from his funk. If he drops another pass early, then, you know, we'll see Jerron Brown move up to the third receiver and Michael Floyd just get spot duty.
Well, you know, we have to move to the defense because we only have a couple minutes left, but I'm just going to make one point, which is having watched the All or Nothing documentary series on Amazon, I do not understand the reluctance to put forward David Johnson in this offense. Obviously, he is a major part of this offense. But like when you see what's happening in the GM room, I'm like, I don't even understand why they don't love this guy more than they do. But I don't know. Obviously, he's coming into his own and he's a big element of the offense. But there's obviously some things going awry on defense too, right? I mean, Tyrann Mathieu has had a little bit of a position change. Some of the, you know, kind of magic pixie dust that was on him a year or two ago doesn't seem to be there so much anymore. Is that because of the lack of Todd Bowles running that defensive scheme, or, you know, attrition at the, on the defense, or kind of what, if you had to put your finger on one thing about this defense that needs change or is the major problem, you know, what do you think it is, Ken?
Well, I think, you know, last year they were pretty good without Todd Bowles. They I think finished fifth overall in defense, fifth or seventh and the other in scoring. So they were pretty good last year. A couple of things are going on this year that, you know, Calais Campbell at defensive tackle got off to a slow start. They got off to a little bit of a slow start integrating Chandler Jones, the pass rusher, into the lineup. He didn't do much the first couple weeks. The injury to Tyrann Mathieu last December, another torn ACL, you know, they kept him at safety earlier this year, you know, just the stereotypical deep safety to kind of protect him until he got healthy. That's not his style. He needs to play closer to the line of scrimmage in that kind of hybrid role that he's really excelled at. He moved to that last week, and he's getting closer to 100%. I don't think he's there yet. And the secondary, they really missed two veterans that they didn't re-sign in pre-agency, and safety Rashad Johnson and Gerard Powers. They wanted to get more athletic in the secondary, but those guys were really smart and really helped everybody get lined up right, identify, you know, formations and what coverage they were in. And we've seen this year this team has blown two or three coverages that have cost them 10 or 14 points. You know, you could say it cost them the Patriots game, with guys just running free because, you know, they didn't get the change in coverage signals correctly. So there's been miscommunication back there. They played better, much better last week in San Francisco, came up with three turnovers, converted some of them into points. But, you know, that's the 49ers. I don't know that you can really hang your hat on anything that you accomplished against the 49ers, because that's not a very good football team right now.
Kent, last question before we let you get out of here. What are your tracking points for this game? You know, what's the moments or things that you'll be looking for in, let's say, the first quarter and a half, where if you're tracking this game from either the press box or if you're a fan watching it on TV, you'll be able to look at this and see, okay, I don't think this one's going to go the Cardinals' way, or they're struggling, or this might be a New England game again, or, you know, the other way going, oh, I think this is theirs going away. Or I think the Jets are going to be in some deep trouble here.
I think for the Cardinals offense, is Palmer on target after a week off and the concussion? Is he better than he was in his last two starts? Is an offensive line with two new starters at guards because of injuries, are they able to hold up against a physical Jets front? I know that front has been a disappointment so far, but, you know, the Cardinals are really worried about that. Can they establish David Johnson, who, you know, they think is very special and probably the best runner this franchise has had since it moved west in 1988. I think defensively, can they, you know, can they get to Ryan Fitzpatrick? Can they keep Fitzpatrick, you know, have him continue to be shaky? You know, they're worried that, you know, Fitzpatrick can be very streaky. And if he gets on, you know, a streak of three or four consecutive passes, is he going to eat them up? I think early, that's something to watch. You know, and the Cardinals haven't scored in the first quarter all season. The only team in the NFL who hasn't. So that's been a point of emphasis and continues to be around here, and we'll see. I think, you know, maybe the second, third quarters are coming out of the locker room of the third quarter might be a better indication of what this game is going to be like.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Jets have very much struggled in the second half of games. They were outscored. I forget what the margin was this season, but they looked extremely sluggish out of the gate. Kent, thank you so much for joining us. You guys can follow Kent on Twitter at Kent Summers. Obviously, this week as Jets fans, but overall as NFL fans, he's one of the best in the business. You can also, if you are in the Arizona area, you can pick up the Republic, or you can read him online as well. Kent, thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of the day, and enjoy your weekend.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
Many thanks to Kent for joining us. Make sure you guys check him out everywhere where he is available to be read. Brian, I think that something that Kent mentioned really hit on me was the start of the second half. That's been a major liability for the Jets, particularly on offense, but definitely on defense as well. They have not adjusted well, and games that they've been relatively close in the first half, I think specifically of last week against the Steelers, they've just kind of gotten away from them in the third quarter. Do you have reason to believe? Do you have Todd Bowles, Casey Rogers, Chan Gailey level optimism, or are you expecting that the third quarter might be the time when everyone kind of heads for the exits, so to speak, on Monday night?
The Jets are going to get it cleaned up, Corey. They're going to get it cleaned up. Right, is that the pat answer?
That's the company line right now. The company line from Rogers, from Bowles, from Gailey. Things are going well. We're not worried. I do it again. Blah blah blah. Oh, by the way, real not even the fact that Todd Bowles continues to defend that decision. I just
fourth and two.
Oh, but that's the thing, right? So then I'm fascinated to see what happens in this game, because this could very well, if the Cardinals offense is struggling specifically deep, and it becomes more of a granular play-by-play game script, and it's not the high-scoring blowout or not even that back-and-forth offense, Bowles is going to be faced with these decisions. He's going to be faced with these fourth-down decisions. Do I kick it? Do I punt it? Do I go for it? And those are the difference. Those are, you know, Mike Lombardi likes to talk about 4-point plays in the red zone where you could go for a touchdown and you settle for a field goal. But these punting decisions, you could argue they're 3 or 7-point plays as well.
Yeah, originally your question was, you know, are they going to get, you know, are they, you know, is anything going to change? And I would say, I think they have some of the talent to make the changes. I think they have some of the coaches and kind of scheme to make the changes, right? We just have yet to see it. And so, like, you know, we talked about, I think it was last week to the Steelers, right? Like, this needed to be a kitchen sink game.
Yeah.
I think I kind of doubled down on that logic for this game, right? Like, I get that this is a wounded animal they're playing against. You know, the Cardinals are struggling too. But at the same time, you know, both these teams are playing for relevance at this point. And so, you know, I don't think that, quote unquote, the team that wants it more is going to win, but I certainly think the team that's talent and scheme align more directly will win this game. And I just worry that it's not going to be the Jets.
Two things, and then we're going to get out of here. One, very quick, both of them very quick. Number one, is there a change specifically that you would like to see them make? And if so, what is it?
I mean, I just think that the secondary was just, it's been brutal to watch, right? And I think, as I said earlier this week, you know, at least some of the guys that were out there were trying, but certainly there were lots of grievous errors there. I mean, I want to see the secondary, you know, rebuild themselves from the ruins of a once great empire, right? I mean, they have some talented players. Who knows what's going to happen with Revis, if he's going to play or not. Hopefully the extra day, you know, gives him a little extra time to get ready. But even if he goes, like, he's got to be someone who's, you know, paying attention, engaged, you know, fighting in this game rather than just loafing around. Like, I think he's got to dictate the tempo of this team, and you can't do that from the sidelines. You can't do that from the sidelines of the, you know, of the practice field either, right? And something's amiss there. So they got to get that settled.
What are your thoughts on this game? Where do you see this one going?
I mean, Monday night, cross country. I think the Cardinals come back in a big way and kind of stake their claim in the NFC West again. So I don't see this going in Jets' favor, even though I think this is the most winnable game they've had in, I don't know, of these two games. I think this is a much more winnable game than the Pittsburgh game. I don't think it's going to happen.
Going with the crowd is boring. Go Jets. They're going to win it. Screw it.
Playing to the fans.
Make the Jets great again. Folks, we very much appreciate you taking time to join us. I know that you Jets fans are our loyal listeners, and we very much appreciate your time here. We appreciate you guys calling into the post-game podcast and doing that. If you happen to be an Islanders or Rangers fan, you probably know that the NHL season is kicking off right now this week, and both teams are squaring off on Thursday night when we are taping the podcast at Madison Square Garden. For season previews of both teams, be sure to check out Islanders Point Blank podcast and the Rangers Blue Line podcast, both hosted by NHL.com's Brian Compton. The easiest way to listen to both those shows, wait for it. BSNY.TV audio network, folks.
Boom.
iPhone podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcasts as a Rangers fan. I personally hope that Jimmy Vesey scores 7 goals tonight and everyone forgets who this Austin Matthews kid is and the Rangers stop John Tavares and those Brooklyn-loving Islanders out of existence.
But you don't feel strongly about that, do you?
Not at all. Much like I hope the Jets stop the Cardinals out of existence and my friend Brendan McGowan is forced to buy me beers on Monday night in a Brooklyn bar of my choosing. Thank you very much, folks, for listening. Thank you, Kent Summer, for calling in. Thank you, Brian. If you guys like Brian, find him on Twitter at Brian_Bassett.
And you can find Corey on Twitter at Corey Griffin NBC. And thank you, Corey.
I almost said find Brian on iTunes. That's how
yeah,
much.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. I'm all over iTunes. Brian. Me and Carly Rae Jepsen.
Folks, thank you very much for listening. Yeah, that's totally topical. Thanks for listening. Until next time, keep calm and jet on.
Spoiler alert.
This has been the Jets Blog Podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.